Our New Testament reading this week comes from John's Gospel. It's chapter 2 and it's verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you've kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and the disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And here to open up God's word for us this morning is the wonderful Tim Barnes. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, Andrew. How are you? Morning, everybody.
Very good here. Thank you, Tim. I'm going to duck out and leave us all in your hands.
Okay. Good day to everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Right. Okay. So I'm going to start with a prayer, if that's all right. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful body of your church, for our community here in you. Help us to hear your word and follow your will. Amen. So it's good to know that Jesus liked a party and didn't want the celebrations to stop, given that we had Maria, my wife's, first of a few 50th birthday celebrations last night. But the question is, was Jesus in it for the party, or was he trying to allude to something else? Well, let's look at some of the detail and see what comes out. This book is believed to have been written between 55 and 95 AD. Some church historians believe that it was written by John, son of Zebedee, brother of James, who, it is said, met Jesus on the lake, on the shores of Lake Galilee, and whom Jesus loved. Others assert that it's a collective effort by a community of Christians who knew John. Either way, it offers us critical and crucial insight into Jesus's ministry. You may remember Helen White's talk from last Sunday, where Helen revealed to us the step change in John's Gospel in the preceding chapter to this. We heard that just before this wedding event, Jesus began to form his close-knit group of followers, and Helen helped us to understand, "Come and see, tell your friends." In today's reading of John, we have another significant step change. Step change in Jesus's ministry that we should consider. Today, we are called to reflect on the first of Jesus's miracles. And at the end of that passage, and some might say, the first sign of Jesus's heavenly power. Having been a hospitality professional for many years, I've always been interested in this passage, often considering the faux pas of running out of wine at such a feast and the social embarrassment that Jesus saved this wedding couple from. But there is much more going on here if we dig even deeper. In verse 4, Mary doesn't say to Jesus, "Get some wine," or "Perform a miracle." She simply informs Jesus that there is a need and trusts that Jesus will do the right thing. So how does that reflect on our relationship with Jesus? Are we asking for something specific when we might do better just to bring the situation to Jesus and trust for Jesus to make the right act? In verse 5 we read, "But his mother told them, do whatever he tells you. To me, that illustrates the intimate bond between mother and son. And I'm sure it relates to our recent nativity story from Luke chapter 2, verse 19, that says, after the shepherds had declared to the manger crowd what the angel had said to them about the Son of God, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them up in her heart. Mary obviously trusted Jesus. I want to add here that some theologians believe that Luke is reported to have interviewed Mary as part of his gospel writing. Moving on to verse 6, talk about abundance. 1,000 pints of wine, that's minimum, which would have been diluted with more water, as was the custom of the day, making this an awesome blessing and a party for the whole village. Jesus asked the serving team to fill the jars with water. It would have been just as easy for Jesus to have filled them within the miracle as part of the miracle. But I believe there has to be some demonstration here. It had to be a participating act, as we are told in verse 9 that, of course, the servants knew what had happened. Jesus, within this miracle, was getting the community to participate. To me, this demonstrates we must participate in Jesus's work as the servants did. And in the closing of this beautiful verse, this beautiful story, we read, and his disciples believed in him, indicating another purpose to this wedding blessing. So with that in mind, what miracles or signs can you see in your life that help you believe? For me, it came at the darkest time when I had absolutely no direction in my life and heavy reliance on substance abuse and work so I could avoid having to live. I lay on the floor one Sunday morning and cried, God help me! And I really meant it. It was a desperate plea. And I had no help, no hope for myself. Now, thankfully, in that moment, I didn't hear the booming voice of God, as I think that would have tipped me over the edge. But strangely enough, I did hear the badly recorded bells being broadcast via a PA system that had clearly seen better days. The bells were from an old church building of St. Christopher's at the end of the street where we lived. And along with the peal of bells came an inner certainty, an inner strength in me that I needed to get back to church and get back into a relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting, and we definitely don't have to have a full-on revelation like John. He did end up writing Revelations on the island of Patmos. And sometimes we might need to look for the footprints walking through our life. But you came here today for some reason, some suggestion, or some certainty, and that is where you'll find your sign. It doesn't have to be the voice of God. And it doesn't have to be a plea for help. It might just as rightly be an awesome sign, sight of nature, or a still small voice inside. But as the servants did, we need to act. And as Luke told Mary, we need to treasure these moments in our hearts so we can keep them alive. So back to the original question, was Jesus in it for the party or was he trying to allude to something else? Well, when we read through the Gospels, we can see that Jesus did like gatherings of people. He liked festivals and celebrations, but there was always a purpose. Jesus consistently left signs of his divinity and the way to the Father. And we have to ask ourselves, are we looking? Are we participating? Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for your personal interest in our lives. Thank you for calling us here today. Thank you that we have such faithful records in your words. Amen.